Welcome to the Women Success Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you one of the top speakers, especially in the corporate training realm, Miss Sandy Mitchell. Sandy, why don't you take it from here?
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tanya. I appreciate it. You know, one of the things as I've been working with my corporate clients, I found that there was a whole lot of focus on listening to their inner critics, you know, those voices in your head that says you're not smart enough, you're not good enough. If only they knew, they would not have promoted you. And we started working through ways that you can minimize the sound of your inner critic voices and maximize the sound of your inner genius voice. That's that one that tells you, of course you're good enough. Yes, you can do this. It may be hard and you can do it. So what I did, because I came out of the technology world, everything there is an acronym. I came up with the acronym GENIUS, the GENIUS plan. So GENIUS stands for 6 things that you can do to help you with success moving forward. The first one, G, is for gratitude. Then E is emotional intelligence. You will find I'm a neuroscience geek and I love emotional intelligence. N is for noticing. I is for imagining. U is for uniqueness, and S is for serving. And these 6 steps will help you strengthen that inner genius and minimize those inner critics. So let's do a little deeper dive into these. We'll start off with gratitude. Gallup poll, you know, they're the ones that do huge amounts of studies with leaders and teams and management across the globe. And they had a study, a global workplace study, that said that 13%, just 13% of employees globally are engaged at work. What this means is that only 1 in 8 people come to work and they are committed to their jobs, they make positive contributions. So you think about those 87% of people who aren't playing in their strengths, who have that attitude of disengagement, negativity, apathy. And the thing is, if you're not engaged at work, trickles over into your home life as well, right? And your social life. So what's happening here is that people are listening to their inner critics. They are really focusing in on those things that reaffirm what is not going right in their life. And a lot of science recently have proven that gratitude actually physiologically changes your brain, which I find fascinating, right? So one of the things about gratitude is when you focus on gratitude, it gives you this endorphin rush, right? It actually gives you this same sense of pleasure as eating chocolate or having great sex or having a conversation with somebody that you really love. It's all in that same part of the brain, right? So gratitude has different things that you can do to ensure that it works for you. Now, one of the things that I think is an easy one to start off with is, well, you know what, before I go there, let me have you just do a quick, what are a few quick things that you do in order to express gratitude? And just take a couple of quick notes of some of the things that you do. Here's some examples of things that that I've shown that you can do. I do this with my clients all the time. One of them is writing a thank you note. So few of us get handwritten notes anymore. And I can tell you that with all the employees that I work with, all the people that I work with, when they get a handwritten note from their manager, from their leader, from their boss, it really means something to them, even if it's just one sentence, right? Just that one sentence does not only changes the endorphins in your brain, but it raises the endorphins in the person's brain who receives it as well. So think about somebody for a thank you note. Think about somebody who positively influenced your life. Could be a teacher, a mentor, someone in your family, anybody who's helped you along the way, somebody in your company, one of your team members. Be really specific as you're writing down what it is that they did and how it affected you. And I think that's what really important, because some people, they'll write a thank you note and they just say, thank you, good job, right? So it's technically a thank you note, but really, when you are specific about what someone does, it taps even deeper into those endorphins, into those connection vibes that we get. And one of the skills for emotional intelligence is relationship building. Do something like this that builds those relationships, that taps into that even more. You're growing your loyalty. You're growing your touch with them, which grows the positivity between you, which will grow productivity. It's a lovely cycle that it has. And what's even better than mailing it, if you have the capability, if they're close enough, go hand deliver the letter to them, because it really means even more when you're face to face. Wonderful to mail it. So please mail it if you're not close. But if you have the capability of going face to face, do that. Another one is creating a gratitude lookout day. Just pick a day and actively watch for ways to thank other people for their kindness, for their helpfulness, or their consideration. Be generous with your thanks in this. So what you're doing is, on this particular day, you're really looking for those things that you can be thankful for. And what that does is it starts to train your brain to look for the positive things in life rather than reinforcing the negative things. Because your brain wants you to be successful, whatever you tell it. If you tell it that your life sucks, if you tell it that things are hard, if you tell it that your boss is terrible, it's going to look for things to prove that true. It will also look for things if you tell it that your boss may be hard and there are things that are positive about your boss. It's going to look for those things that are positive about your boss. So have a gratitude lookout day. And then the third idea on gratitude is putting things in perspective. So our brains are wired to answer questions, right? So when faced with adversity, ask yourself a question: what's good about this? How can I benefit, or what can I learn from this? What can I feel grateful for here? What's the opportunity? One of the tools that I use with my clients a lot, I teach them a tool called Three Gifts. When you're in the middle of something that's going wrong, and you have just a second to think, I want you to ask yourself, or this is a great way to shift the energy of the person you're working with too, ask yourself, what are three gifts that can come out of this situation? And it's not always easy to do. So here's an example. I was working with a client, and he had just found out that he had been laid off from his job, totally unhappy about it, right? He started getting all these inner critics about how he's the man, he's supposed to take care of his family, and he was failing in that. And so I asked him, you know, what are three gifts that could come out of this? And it took really probably two or three conversations for him to be able to look at the positives of this. Because sometimes when you're in the middle of a big situation like that, it's hard to see them. When you can start recognizing the positives, that's when you can shift your energy, right? So the first thing that he came up with was that he was growing more and more concerned about working at that particular company because their values were coming directly into conflict with his values. So he said that might be a way for him to actually go to work for a company whose values more closely align with it. Great, right? The second one was that his dad, a week before he got laid off, had been told that he had four-stage cancer. And his mom doesn't drive. My client was an only child. And so he said, you know, the fact that my dad's sick, this gives me an opportunity to help out there, which is great. And then the third one is that he and his wife had been talking about, is there a way that she could stop working and stay at home with the three boys and live comfortably on one salary? So he said, you know, this is a way that maybe we could start to budget our expenditures so that we can focus on being able to do it in her salary, so that when I get a job, we can just transfer that to my salary and then let her stay at home with the boys and grow really strong men, right? Here's the amazing part of the story. When his dad went to the doctor, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and he was given 3 months to live. My client was able to look for a job, take care of his dad, run all the errands for his mom. His dad went into the hospital, then into hospice, then into a coma, really fast. He woke up after 2 weeks in a coma. It was amazing. And he was cogent enough to be able to talk about the passwords that they had for all their financial accounts, be able to put everything into his wife's and his son's name. They were able to say everything that they wanted to say, and 36 hours later, he passed away. The day of the funeral, my client got a job offer with a company that he really wanted to work for, and he's been there for over 6 years now, and he's really happy. The fact that he was able to, early on in the process, begin to look at what are the positives that could come out of the situation enabled him to be fully present with his dad, to really identify those companies that he really wanted to work with, and create a budget so that within the first 6 months of working at the new company, his wife was able to quit and begin raising their children full-time. It was an incredible story, but it was because he was able to get out of those inner critics and focus in on the inner genius. Now let's talk about emotional intelligence. So emotional intelligence is this ability to understand, and respond to your emotions and help others do it as well. You know that when a lot of people think that emotional intelligence is all about empathy. Empathy is just one of 15 emotional intelligence skills, and it gives you a great deal of, think of it from as a data point, right? When somebody is responding to you in a way that you don't know why they're responding that way, if they're angry or if they're yelling or if they're crying or if they're frustrated, whatever it is, empathy gives you that ability to be able to say, okay, so what is it that is causing this? So you come from a curiosity perspective and you're able to understand what's going on behind the emotion, what are the thoughts behind it? And that builds, again, that builds the relationships, which enables them to trust you, which enables y'all to have really good conversations, which gives you the ability to problem solve even better. So being able to focus in on your emotional intelligence gives you that opportunity to influence others more readily. And if you're interested in getting a self-assessment copy of the emotional intelligence skills and where you are, just shoot me a quick email at info@apexmastery.com. Now let's talk a little bit about noticing. Noticing is one of those things that we don't do very much of anymore. We live in this microwave, multitasking, ADD world that we're really losing our ability to notice things. Notice what's going on in our own minds, much less what's going on with others, right? So since we focus on others with emotional intelligence, and then we'll be doing focusing on others with serving as well, let's focus here on what's going on in our brain. I just spent a weekend at a leadership conference where we spent half the time talking about the power of letting go. And I thought how well this ties in with noticing. Because until you notice something is going on with you, you know, that those triggers that are in your body that shows where stress shows up, then you can't let go of what's not serving you. Before something happens, you might have a fight with a coworker or a spouse, or an illness may come up, say you may be saying yes to too many things, right? As a leader, how much do you notice about your peers, your team, your clients? Because the sooner that you can notice or recognize that something is off or something is different, the sooner that you can address the concern before it turns into the elephant in the room. That's emotional intelligence. And it's triggered through your ability to notice things. So think of it this way. When you do a Google search on how to be a better leader, you get 17.6 million results. Do you ever go beyond page one before you move on to the next thing? Rarely, right? Your brain is like Google. We tend to look at what pops up for us first. Why does it pop up first on Google? Those companies know enough about SEO to get on the first page. Why does it pop up first on our brains? Because we've tried enough things in the past that these are our top 10 patterns that typically work for us. So why even go to page two and be more creative. Our brains get locked into patterns really easily. The ability to notice helps you break those patterns. So let's go into the next thing, which is imagining. Now, imagining is our ability to see things that aren't real yet. Our brains are so powerful that our imagination can actually manifest itself in reality. So you think about athletes, right? If you've ever been an athlete or you've seen one of the tools that a lot of athletes use is to vision, right? To vision themselves making the free throw or the touchdown or hitting the ball into the center field stands. I know a lot of speakers who vision themselves getting up on stage and at the end of the speech having the standing ovation. In order to strengthen your inner genius, you want to be able to imagine the future that you want, not the one that you don't want, because that's the one your inner critics are playing in, right? You want to focus on the one your inner genius has. The clearer your vision for your future, the easier it is for your inner genius to more easily overcome the inner critic. So there's four questions that you can ask yourself to help you begin your imagining process. The first one is, if your life were perfect and your dreams come true, what would your life and work be like in 10 years? 10 years from now, if you were facing the perfect day, what would it look like? And be really specific here. Who are the people that are in your life? How much money are you making? What are the, when you walk into your office, what does it look like, right? When you walk into your home, what does it look like? Be really specific, because the more you can see it, your brain sees things in pictures. So the more you can see your future, the more you can make it happen, because your brain starts to look for that future to help you achieve it. The next question that you could ask, if that one was a little didn't get you where you wanted to go, the next question is, what kind of person would you love to be? What are the values most important to you, such as accomplishment or creativity or independence or influence or recognition? So being able to recognize, okay, what kind of person do I want to be? What do I want to be when I grow up, right? It's the other side of that coin. What kind of person would I love to be? Then the third question, if that one still didn't get you where you wanted, think about who helped you the most in becoming who you are or get you to where you are. And thinking about that person, you begin to recognize, what are the characteristics of that person that I really admire? What are those things in them that really makes me feel like I can be successful too? And then the fourth question, if you're still having some trouble with this, this one is easy, right? If you won $50 million after tax in the lottery, how would your life or your work change? I love that question. What would you do? Because typically, people who win the lottery, they become bigger and more of who they are. If they were greedy, they become more greedy. If they were hoarders, they become more hoarders. If they were generous, they become more generous. So that's all about imagining, right? So imagining is this great ability to see into the future and to create the future that you want. That is your inner genius at work. Let's look at the last two. So uniqueness. Uniqueness is that ability to be different, to stand out, right? The thing is, we assume because something's easy for us, it must be easy for other people, right? So we don't think of ourselves as being unique. However, all the experiences that we've had, the people in our lives, the books we've read, the thoughts and feelings and actions we've had, we have a unique way of looking at life because of all of those things. And it is your obligation to share your uniqueness with the world. I love that phrase. It's your obligation to share your uniqueness with the world. Which means you need to recognize what your uniqueness is, what your individuality is, what your incomparability is. What's different about you that the world needs? And the world could be just your spouse. The world could be just your kids. The world could be just your team at work, or it could literally be the world. So look at the people who've understood and used their individuality to the benefit of the world. I love Malala Yousafzai, right? She's that teenage girl from Pakistan who overcame an attack from the Taliban and used her passion for learning to become a global activist for education. Or Seth Godin, he's a marketing expert who changed the way that we market with the concept of permission marketing versus that traditional interruption advertising. Or even Steve Jobs, you think about Steve, right? He's a guru of iconoclastic thinking who let seemingly disparate things such as a class in calligraphy, a stay at an ashram, and a friendship with a technical nerd, Steve Wozniak, all come together in his mind to create Apple and change the face of technology. Each one of these people, they recognized and they developed their uniqueness and their strengths. So by noticing, developing their uniqueness, our world has evolved as well. The thing is, you don't have to change the world, but developing your strengths, your uniqueness can change your world. And in turn, those people around you. So you impact people whether you want to or not. So you get to choose. Is your impact driven by your inner critics? Or is your impact driven by your inner genius? And then the last one I wanted to talk about was serving. There is something in our brains when we serve other people. It floods our brains with epinephrine, which gives us a sense of peacefulness, well-being, and calm. And it also floods our brains with testosterone, which gives us energy for creativity. So helping people literally energizes our brain and makes us feel better. I love that. So when was the last time you really noticed someone, right? The next person you come in contact with, I want you to look closely enough at them to see the color of their eyes. I want you to look at someone and notice if anybody needs help, right? It's be an encouraging world. Give them an encouraging word. Give them a ride somewhere if they need that. Being there with a listening heart. Today, what is one act of service that you can do for someone else? So remember this, our inner critics can be overcome by strengthening our inner genius through gratitude, emotional intelligence, noticing, imagining, understanding your uniqueness, and serving others. So now what, right? What are some of the ways that your inner critic keeps you from achieving your goals? What are ways that you can listen less to your inner critics and more to your inner genius this week? If you want to find out more about how to stop your inner critic and become an extraordinary leader, then simply go to apexmastery.com. And there you can sign up for a workshop or get a copy of one of my three books, best-selling books. And you can also recognize that the obstacle to your inner genius and the life you've imagined can become one of two things. These obstacles can become a stopping place for your inner critics to rail against the unfairness of it all, or it can become a stepping stone into your greatness. So the next time you come up against an obstacle, ask yourself, could your bold gladiator inner genius self, what greatness am I about to step into? If you want a copy of the Genius Plan, just shoot me an email at info@apexmastery.com. Thank you very much for your time, and I wish you all the best with your inner genius.